Good morning, everybody. It is Sunday morning, October 25th, and we are indoors again. Got rained out today, but I'm not complaining because we were blessed to have, out of 25 Sundays, we have had two where we've been pushed inside. So back at the table in my house, a couple weeks ago, we did it in the office. And honestly, I value whatever level of authenticity and connection we can have. And so I actually like doing this where I can see who's on, who's interacting, who's joining in. I'm not necessarily going to, while I'm preaching, I'm not necessarily going to track with your comments, but it's just good to be able to connect in some sense. Being at the office last time, standing back from the camera and not really knowing what's going on and just sort of speaking to that camera didn't really do it for me, and I don't mean that in a selfish way, but it felt forced. And so here I am back at the table. For those of you who are new with us, we did this for 2 months straight, 8 Sundays in a row after the COVID shutdown, right here. And so not my favorite way to do this. I've loved being outdoors, being in the parking lot, with those of you who have come to join us physically. And having the blessing and the gift to be able to stream over Facebook Live and let people join in. So, all right, I see quite a few jumping on here. I'm going to give it about another minute and a half and just see who jumps in. And then I'm going to start with some announcements. I've got three announcements here, all important, but one very significant announcement about us moving indoors in a few weeks. And then we're going to get to today's message. So another thing I miss out on with this when we just have the video is obviously singing together, which is another huge vital aspect of our faith of singing praise together. And we'll miss that today. But I encourage you today, put on some worship music, put on some praise music, sing to the Lord with your families, friends, wherever you're at. Walking through the grocery store, sing at the top of your lungs as a hymn or a song, a spiritual song comes to you, whatever. But how is everybody doing today? I see quite a few people on here. Good morning to you all. I see a lot of good mornings. And then there's the Gareth Louder God morning, which I know is not a typo. God morning to you too. Yeah, Elizabeth, it has been nice to give the setup team a break for months now. Part of the announcement coming up here in a few minutes is the re-engagement of the setup team. So back to work. Back to work, you all, here in a few weeks. So, all right. Well, let's get into this and let's start with prayer. I invite you right where you are to pray with me. Let's invite the Lord's presence with us during this time together. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this day that you have given us. Your word tells us that this is the day that you have made and that we will rejoice. We choose to rejoice in it. Lord, whatever's going on around us, we choose to rejoice because you are stable and steadfast. You are trustworthy and you are true. And so we lean into you again today, God, in our homes, wherever we're watching this from, either live or later on in the day, God, we lean into you. And we trust you and we ask for your peace. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your wisdom. And most of all, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would anoint this time and that your word, as it's proclaimed today, would touch all of our hearts, including mine. And you would bring transformation, correction, hope, peace, and equipping for your calling on our lives. So we love you, God. And we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. A few announcements. First, I wanted to remind you all that we are going to be having some new Restoration Community shirts made. You can order those virtually on our church app. If you have not downloaded our smartphone app yet, which has a lot of great tools on it. I mean, you can access sermons, you can see whatever resources I mention or recommend in the sermons. You can see the calendar, you can see events, you can watch Facebook Live events through our app. But currently on our app, you can order t-shirts. And we're going to be ordering those in a few weeks. Once we're back together physically, we'll also be having a physical sign up for that. But I encourage you to check out the Restoration app. and get those t-shirt orders in. They're gonna be some really sweet t-shirts. Next, today, Elizabeth Nannery, our women's ministry team leader, has planned and is coordinating a women's reconnect, and that's from 3 to 4 p.m. today. And there's the option to come meet physically at the church office. There's also the option to get on Zoom. I sent out a Zoom link yesterday for that meeting, so you can come join Elizabeth and some other ladies at the church office from 3 to 4, or you can join in by Zoom. And this is really going to be a discussion around what you ladies talked about at the last Reconnect several weeks ago, and just looking toward the future of how to move forward. Last announcement for this morning, and a biggie, is that after months of, you know, being out of a location, then, you know, several months now, I think this is our 25th week since we started, you know, meeting outside. We have been waiting and looking and praying because we still feel very much led to get into North Davidson High School, and yet the school has not opened up to us yet, and the administration is not sure when it's going to open up. So we're still waiting on that. That's not an option for us right now. But one of the locations that we have identified and looked at, actually looked at several weeks ago, but just really felt as oversight team, that would be me, Gordon Miller, Jordan Leonard, Andrew Morton, and Ken Trivett, really felt that with the weather being so nice that it would just be easier for us to gather physically outdoors than move inside at that point. But we have identified a spot that we are going to start worshiping indoors there on November the 15th, Sunday, November the 15th. And it is the Cheermania Gym in Welcome, North Carolina. It's a cheerleading gym, which is pretty much almost exclusively used for events and children's events now. It has the space that we can work with. It will serve us well in the interim. And we have met and talked with Jeanette Noah, the owner there. She's a real blessing and very open for us to rent that space on Sunday mornings and to utilize it for our church. Cheermania Gym is a 2-minute drive from North Davidson High School and 0.9 miles away from North Davidson High School. And so it's right in the area that we feel called to be in. It's there in the community. And so we prayed again about this, and even after looking at any other potential options, and it's really the best option for us right now. So Sunday, November the 15th, we will be moving our physical worship services indoors at Cheermania Gym. They're less than a mile away from North Davidson High School. We'll have a physical presence in there in the community, and they're a lot of blessings and community connection blessings where Cheermania Gym. I mean, it's a place where families and young families interact in the community, and it's right there, like I said, where we feel called to be, where we feel called to live out our mission as we continue to wait and pray for North Davidson High School to open up to us as we had planned to move into March 15th, right when everything shut down because of COVID. So, Mandy Blaylock, does that mean we can cheer for the Lord and get loud? Yeah, I mean, you can do that any Sunday. I'm waiting. Go for it. I don't know about pom-poms and stuff, but yeah, you can cheer. All right, y'all. So those are the three announcements. T-shirts, Women's Reconnect today, 3 to 4, and then moving indoors because, you know, it's getting chilly. And so we're going to move in there to Cheermania Gym a couple weeks, Sunday, November 15th. And looking forward to that. I'll be sending out in the coming days, sending out some info about how we're going to handle any, you know, indoors procedures on how to handle, you know, coronavirus and all that. But we'll be communicating that with you. We're going to do our best to, you know, walk between authentic free worship and at the same time protecting people that could be at risk for the virus. But we'll be communicating clearly on that with you all. So, all right. Today's message is from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. So if you've got your device with your Bible on it, or you've got a old-fashioned paper copy of the Bible, I encourage you to grab that. I'm actually going to be preaching from the New Living Translation today. I typically almost exclusively use the English Standard Version, but today I'm going to be preaching from the New Living Translation, so it may be a little bit different than what you still write. It's accurate, it's true, but it's just it's a different, very, very good modern translation that I'm going to be preaching from. So let me read through the entirety of those verses first, and then we will we'll start walking through them. All right, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. Paul says to his son, his mentee in the faith, Timothy, he says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me," Paul says, "as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Now, 2 Timothy is one of three letters that are called the pastoral epistles. And that would be 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, written to two different sons in the faith that Paul mentored, trained, loved dearly, and mentored as young pastors throughout his ministry. And those pastoral epistles were all written towards the end of Paul's life. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy was written to Timothy to encourage him as Paul was finishing up his earthly race. It was written either 3 to 4 years probably prior to Paul, before Paul was killed for the gospel, before he was martyred for the gospel. And he was writing to his son in the faith to encourage him to endure. Keep up the good work. Don't be distracted. Don't get knocked off course. Don't be diverted, but to endure. And so he's writing this amazing letter to him. When I was in seminary, I had a Greek professor, Dr. David Beck, who just great man of God, tenderhearted man of God. And he said to us pastors, those who are being trained in pastoral ministry, he said, "I would encourage every pastor to read through the pastoral epistles at least once a year to be reminded of your calling, to be reminded of the priorities." And so while it was written to young pastors, and I'm talking about my life as a pastor, the truth is that this book has much application to any of us who are walking out, seeking to walk out as followers of Jesus, to walk out our calling, to walk out the service, the ministry that God has called us to, whether that's actually your job or not. And for most of us, pastoral ministry is not our job, but we are called to be messengers. We are called to be servants. We are called to be disciples. We are called to live surrendered lives to Jesus. And so today's message is called Staying Faithful in Trying Times. Staying Faithful in Trying Times. So I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we're in a tumultuous season in our nation. So welcome, if you've been under a rock or you've been a hermit in the mountains, welcome to a trying time in our nation. You may also have noticed that we're in an election season, a quite contentious, divisive, and I'm not even just talking about the candidates. I'm talking about we the people, contentious, divisive, at times nasty and hateful. And so I wanted to share with you guys, before I get into my points this morning, about my plans after the election is over. Here are my plans after the election is over. You often hear celebrities say things like, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. If so-and-so gets elected, I'm moving here or there. We hear people say things like that all the time. Here's what I'm going to do if the person that I'm not voting for gets elected. Well, I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to do no matter who gets elected. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love my neighbor, seek God's grace to love my neighbor as myself, those who agree with me or don't agree with me. And I'm going to seek to make disciples. I'm going to seek to share the good news. I'm going to seek to preach the word. I'm going to seek to extend the hope of the gospel to those without hope and to encourage those who, like many of you all who are in the gospel, to continue to trust in the gospel. Because we have an eternal message that trumps any temporal message. Staying faithful in trying times. First, I want to say to you, stay focused on your future. Stay focused on your future. In verses 1 and then verses 6 through 8, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. So Paul is issuing a charge, a challenge to Timothy, this young pastor. And he's saying this charge, this encouragement does not just carry the weight of my authority in your life, Timothy. I'm giving you this charge in the presence of God. This comes from God. This comes from Jesus Christ. This comes from the very Godhead. And this Jesus is the one who will judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Because right now we live in the kingdom of God has been brought to the earth. It's been brought near to us and even within us, an experience of it within us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus. But we are in the not yet. We're in the now and the not yet of the kingdom. But one day Jesus will fully set up his kingdom. We will, like John there in the book of Revelation, see the new heavens and the new earth, and all will be made new. And so Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, what I'm saying to you here at the end of my life and at the end of my last letter to you is I'm charging you. What's coming next comes not just because I love you. It's coming from God. It's coming from the God who is the judge. And then at the end of this section, I'm gonna jump to the end of today's passage. And he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Here, there are some of Paul's typical athletic analogies for the Christian faith, a fight and a race. And then he says, I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. See, in what we're going to look at in Paul's coaching and his counsel and his mentoring of Timothy, he sandwiches his counsel between two reminders to focus on our future hope in Christ. And I'm not just talking about your 5-year, 10-year, 15-year vision. I'm talking about eternal hope, eternal future, assured hope in Jesus Christ. And so the encouragement for Timothy and for us to remain faithful means we should stay focused on our future. We can't lose sight of who Jesus is and what he has secured for us, our assured eternal hope in him. And in this, he charges him based upon Jesus, who is the judge, who will come and set up his kingdom. Now, We very often, and rightly so, talk about Jesus as our sacrificial Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the suffering servant from Isaiah 53, the sacrificial Savior, the meek and the mild. But we very often forget. And once we wade into these waters, it's definitely not popular in the way that the culture, the world, or those outside of the faith view Jesus. Because as long as we keep him as sort of this half-truth, tame teacher, he's okay. It's pretty cool, even in the eyes of unbelievers. But we often forget that he is also judge, and he is also king. He's the creator and judge of all the earth, and he possesses all that exists, and he rules over it with a good but holy hand. In Acts 17, in Paul's speech before the Areopagus, this gathering of philosophers there in Athens that invited Paul to come and speak to them and share with them about Jesus and Anastasis, Jesus and the resurrection. They said, it sounds like you're preaching some foreign deities, and we'd like to hear about this, so come and talk to us. And he comes and he gives this beautiful apologetic for the one true God, using even some of their own markers and stones of remembrance, in a sense, there in their culture, their own idols. And he says, you have this one to an unknown God. I'm going to tell you who that God is. And part of that message, he says to them in Acts 17, 30 through 31, he says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, about their wanderings and their unbelief and their sin. He says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn to him. That's the very message that Jesus came preaching. Jesus didn't step into physically into human history and start preaching a message of, hey, we're all good. It's all cool. Hey, you're only human. Don't worry about it. No, Jesus's message of the gospel was even summed up at the very beginning of his message. Check out the gospels. He came preaching, repent, turn. Turn from yourselves. Turn from your sin. Turn from the kingdoms of this world, because the kingdom of God is within reach. It's at hand. And then in verse 31, he says, for he, God, has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man, that being Christ Jesus, the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. In other words, God has set a time when Jesus, the one who willingly laid down his life for those who will come to him, who rose again from the dead, he will also one day return in God's kairos, his appointed time, his divine timing, to judge, to bring full justice. But he's also the rewarding king. He's also the king with a kindly heart who rewards the faithful. In Titus 2, 11 through 14, Paul said this to Titus. He said, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Now, that doesn't mean to every individual. The Bible does not teach universalism. It's talking about to all peoples, to all nations and tribes and tongues. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look, see, here's staying focused on your future. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. There's coming a glorious day. There is coming a day, as the prophet said, when the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. It's coming. And we're very tempted to forget that it's coming. We're very tempted to forget that Jesus will fulfill and will bring into reality, into hard and fast reality, right before our very eyes. There's going to come a day when we're not living by faith. We're actually living by sight, when we look into the face of our Savior and we're living physically in the restored, glorious creation that he has purchased on his cross. It will be revealed. And then in verse 14, Paul says, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So that's the first point. Stay focused on your future. And I'm not talking about weeks and months. I'm talking about forever. Stay focused. Number two, Stay alert and on guard. Stay alert and on guard. I'm going to jump down to verse 3 here, and I'm going to read verses 3 in our main text, verses 3 through 5a. Paul says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching or listen to healthy doctrine. They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers. They will actively look for teachers to tell them what they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, not what they should hear, not necessarily what is the truth of God, but what pleases my ears. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths, fables. But you, Timothy, should keep a clear mind. Be sober." That's how it's often translated. Be sober. Be alert. Keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Now, why would Timothy potentially be suffering for the Lord? But one, because aligning yourself with Jesus and being willing to stand alone in a crowd when people are running after soft, false teaching or teaching that's just about me and pleasing to me, that makes me feel good versus transforms me, that's not popular. And like Paul, and like our very Savior Jesus, there's suffering coming for those who seek to be faithful. He says, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Now, here's one thing. When we see a passage like that, and there are several passages like that in Paul's writings where he says a time is coming when people are going to be, you know, carried away by false teaching, or they're going to seek after stuff that just tickles their ears. Here's the danger. We almost always tend to think of these types of warnings as for others. We think, yeah, that's for the people I disagree with. That's for my enemies. That's for my opponents. Yeah, those people. Those people who, unlike me, seek after stuff just to puff them up, just to make them feel better about who they are, just to support their position. But let me hold this out to you. God gave us His word, and God gave us this word first to shape us. First to take, as like James says in James chapter 1, he says, you know, when you look into the law of God, you look into the word of God, it's like a mirror. And make sure that when you look into it and it speaks to you, God is speaking to you and He's calling you to account and He's challenging you and He's wanting to bring correction, rebuke, equipping, training. He's wanting to set things right in our own lives. Be careful that you don't turn away from this mirror and forget what you looked like. See, God gives us His word first to shape us and to challenge us. And then secondly, out of our transformed lives, our corrected lives, our repenting lives, then to be utilized to minister to others. Man, it's so easy. It's so easy to take this, that the scripture itself attests is the word of God. It's the sword of God. It's living and it's active in Hebrews 4. It's able to divide even soul and spirit. It's that accurate. But it's not accurate if we use it as a weapon against others. It's accurate when we submit under the authority of the Holy Spirit to the Word, and then in humility approaching the Word of God, the very true Word of God, with humility, allowing it to shape and teach us. And then we can be sober. Then we can be alert. Then we can be on guard against false teaching, against teaching that is sort of gospel-ish. There's a lot of pop gospel out there nowadays. You can find it on the front table at Barnes & Noble by celebrity pastors. It's gospel-ish. It's like self-help with some Jesus. Be careful. Pay attention. Be on the alert. Let the Word of God, the fullness of the Word of God, shape our teaching, teach us what's true, teach us what's error. We must practice a doctrinal, theological sobriety, especially in this day and age. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he said this to Timothy. He said, "Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching." Keep a close watch. pay close attention to your living and to your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. See, because we want to walk in faithfulness with the one who died for us. We want to walk in a surrendered posture to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Word of God to instruct us, teach us, challenge us. And our faithfulness or lack of faithfulness affects many around us. Think about those even in your own journey, maybe that you knew personally or that you've just seen on the airwaves that have fallen away. I mean, some people just start out wrong and they just remain in their error. But think about people. I could name some well-known apologists and pastors and teachers very recently who have fallen away and who have fallen morally, who have fallen into error, who have justified their error based upon a misuse of Scripture. Think about those. This is nothing new. As a matter of fact, at the end of Paul's letters, there's some really beautiful remembrances and blessings for people who he misses, or people that he hasn't seen in a while, or people that have suffered for the gospel. But you know what? There's also some really sad statements at the end of Paul's letters. One of those is in 2 Timothy, just a few verses over from our main scripture for today, where Paul says to this, he says, "Timothy, please come to me soon. Please come and see me as soon as you can." And then he says, "Demas," who is someone that had served the gospel alongside Paul, he says, "Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life." These warnings about the coming time for the itching ears and seeking after false teachers and seeking after a comfortable gospel or something that's more man-made than God revealed, it's very tricky and it's easy because we have, as Peter said, we have an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We must stand firm in our faith. We must be alert. We must not become like Demas, who once was clinging to the gospel, at least in word and in action, maybe not truly in his heart. But now he's deserted the Apostle Paul because he fell in love with the things of this life. Be very careful about setting your heart on this world. Be very careful about setting your heart on its pleasures and its possessions. And also, be on guard against adjusting or listening or paying attention to anyone who adjusts the teaching of Scripture to progressively popularize it according to the current culture and beliefs. Be very careful. Be very careful about twisting the truth of God that is uncomfortable and that is not popular to make it fit in with the popular, because this is the message. This is the message that saves our souls and that is the message that redeems those around us. Like Paul's counsel to Timothy, we must pay close attention. Don't grow lax. Don't grow distracted. Don't grow lazy. Keep a close watch on how we live and on our teaching. Thirdly, and the last really main point, stay on message. So we've seen stay focused on your future. Stay alert and on guard. Stay on message. Verse 2 and then in verse 5b, Paul said this. He said, "Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not." In other words, whether you're like ready and prepared and inspired, or you feel like it or not, whether the circumstances are comfortable or not, Timothy and followers of Jesus, preach the word of God, proclaim the word of God. And this isn't just for preachers. Yes, Paul is writing to a young preacher, a young pastor, but this is a message for all of us. What's the chief message that we're to carry? What's the thing that should most be on our lips and that we should most be concerned about in the lives of those around us? Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently, here you go. A fruit of the Spirit, patience. patiently. Patience comes with gentleness, with tenderness, with a trust in God, not an irritation because somebody's not getting it or somebody's not hearing it when I want them to, but patiently. We can be patient because God is in control. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That'd be healthy teaching. And then in verse 5, work at telling others the good news. See, there's the message. When we preach the word of God, we're exposing people to the gospel, to the good news, the only message that can save a person's soul, life, body, the only message. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. A former pastor and mentor and significant spiritual father in my life used to talk about in preaching. He said, preach from the well. Yes, study. Paul said, you know, study to show yourself approved, someone who can rightly handle the word of truth. But then my pastor, mentor, dear friend would also say, Gary, preach from the well. Preach from the well. Spend time with God, develop an intimacy with God, and then preach from the well out of what God has put in you, out of the resources that are living in you. Don't just prepare a talk. Don't just have a speech. Preach out of the well of what God is doing. So this is one time where I would say, yes, speak from the heart. What is your heart consumed with? What captivates your heart? What is your heart set upon? Is your heart afraid? Are you fearful? Are you meditating upon things that are a distraction? Are you what's down in the well of your soul? And when the time is there to speak up for Jesus, is there something down there? You know, if you lower a bucket down into the well of your soul and you pull it up in a conversation, what's going to come up? Is it going to be the living water? Or is it going to be some random conversation that really doesn't do anything, but it just keeps the chitter chatter and the noise of our culture going? Preach from the well. And this is, once again, it's very easy. Don't excuse yourselves. This is not just for preachers. We're all to be proclaimers. We're all to be gospelers. We're all to be messengers. But what's in the well? When the time is unfavorable, when you're uncomfortable, maybe when you're under scrutiny, you're under attack, you're distracted, you're diverted, you're not feeling on a spiritual high. Can you preach then? Can you speak up for Jesus then? Can you share the word of God then? What have you stored up in the well? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. There, just in that one little portion of the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, all devoted to just praise and admiration and celebration and delighting in the word of God, obeying the word, hiding the word in our hearts, inviting God to teach us his commandments, rejoicing in his laws, reciting them out loud, celebrating them. Mandy, you asked, you know, can we cheer? Yeah, cheer. Shout it out loud. Praise God. Shout his word out loud. Read it aloud to yourselves. Speak it out loud. Get it so down deep in your soul that you don't necessarily have to like quote the Bible at people, but your speech and your conversations are just their bib line. That's one of the things that Charles Spurgeon said about John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, that great Puritan pastor, theologian, who did almost all of his writings while he was imprisoned in England for the gospel. He said, when you read Bunyan, it's like he bleeds the Bible. It's like his very blood is bibline. The word of God is so living in him that he can't help but infuse the word of God in every page. What about our lives? What about the pages of our lives? Is it in us? Remember the old Gatorade commercial? Is it in you? What about the Word of God? Is it in you? What have you stored up? What comes out in the unfavorable seasons? Praises, celebrations, gospel hope, or discouragement, or worldly perspectives, or anger, or fear. Man, a lot of people caught up in anger and fear right now. That's not what God has for you. God doesn't have that. It's not fear, regret, shame, creating enemies. Man, this is a time for the church to shine. We're called to be peacemakers. I'm not talking about worldly peace of denying the truth and developing a unity that has nothing to do with the gospel, but I'm talking about the gospel of peace, the Prince of Peace, the one who came to invite people into peace, who said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who persecute you. So thinking about this preaching from the well, Donald Whitney in Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, he says, until verses are hidden in the heart, they aren't available to use with the mouth. Until verses are hidden in the heart, they aren't available to use with the mouth. To wrap up this point, I'm going to share with you just a little bit from Oswald Chambers here in his, mine's pretty torn and tattered. You can't even see the full title there, but Oswald Chambers in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, reflecting on this, preach the word of God in 2 Timothy 4:2. He says, we are not saved only to be instruments for God, but to be his sons and daughters. He does not turn us into spiritual agents, but into spiritual messengers. And the message must be a part of us. As his disciples, our lives must be a holy example of the reality of our message. Even the natural heart of the unsaved will serve if called upon to do so, but it takes a heart broken by conviction of sin, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and crushed into submission to God's purpose to make a person's life a holy example of God's message. There's a difference between giving a testimony and proclamation. A proclaimer is someone who has received the call of God and is determined to use all his or her energy to proclaim God's truth. God takes us beyond our own aspirations and ideas for our lives. In other words, he takes us out of our self-made plans and expectations, and he places us in them by his redemption and by the Holy Spirit. And then he molds and he shapes us for his purpose, just as he worked in the disciples' lives after Pentecost. Allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. Man. That's the stewardship of the tongue. Allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. If you're in a conversation, you're at work, you're with family, friends, you're at the political polling station, you're at the gas station, you're sitting around with your family, let God have liberty with your tongue. Do you know he owns it? He created it. He formed it. He fashioned it in your mouth to speak his praises, not curses. As James says in James chapter 3, allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. Before God's message can liberate other people, his liberation must first be real in you. Gather your material carefully and then allow God to set your words on fire for his glory. See, you and I don't have the power to convince anybody of anything of eternal weight, but the Holy Spirit that lives in the believer has that ability and that authority, and he has chosen by his God, his sovereign mercy to use us as a means to the end of glorifying himself and to bringing his sheep into the fold. Preach the word in season and out of season, when times are favorable, when they're unfavorable, when you feel like it and you don't feel like it. You know, one of the things I found is that when I actually dive in and I seek to be obedient to Jesus, when I don't feel like being obedient, you know what happens? I get rejuvenated. I get reviled. I'm not reviled. Hopefully not. I may get reviled by the people I'm speaking to, but I get revived. My heart is inflamed again because now I'm walking in the purposes of God, not the purposes of Gary, not the purposes of man, not the ways of the world, purposes of God. Last point, and a very quick one. Last point. Point number four, stay faithful to Christ. See, at the end of today's passage, Paul says he's waiting this prize. He's finished the race. He's fought a good fight. He's remained faithful. He's awaiting the crown of righteousness that Jesus is holding for him. But then he says this, he says, and this prize is not for me, not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Do you know what that means? That means this gift, this blessing of Jesus, this eternal gift, this crown of righteousness awaits everyone who trusts in Jesus, because those who trust in Jesus are looking for his return. They're looking for his return. They're staying focused on their future. They're staying alert and on guard. They're staying on message, and they're not sitting around twiddling their thumbs, looking for his return in the sense of just waiting and passively waiting, but they're being faithful. They're praying. They're laboring in the vineyard. They're laboring for God. We believe that the message is worth sharing. It's worth meditating on. It's worth reading over and over again. It's worth saturating our hearts, our minds, our souls, our relationships in. And this prize is not just for me, Paul says, but it's for all who are eagerly awaiting the return of the Messiah. And so here's my invitation to you. Challenge yourself according to these points and to this passage. Are you staying focused on your eternal future? Are you staying alert? Are you practicing doctrinal sobriety? Are you staying on message, or have you gotten off message? Have you adopted the world's message, or are you preaching the gospel? And lastly, do you have faith? Are you someone? Are you a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who has truly trusted in Jesus to the point where you believe that your greatest hope is when he returns and he sets up his kingdom fully and he makes all things new? If you have never trusted him for your salvation, I invite you today. If you're feeling that call, if you're feeling that pull to finally lay your life in the hands of Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you to himself. That's what's called the effectual work of the Holy Spirit, drawing you from the inside to come to him. And I encourage you, as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. There's no life to be lived outside of him. Let us all once again come to him fully, staying focused on him, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to stay faithful in trying times. Let's pray. God, Jesus, we thank you that you are the faithful witness, as it says in Revelation 1. You are the faithful witness, and thank you that by your life, by your sacrifice, by your resurrection, by your intercession right now at the right hand of the Father, and one day by your return, you will fulfill every single promise you have made. But today, God, as those of us, your messengers, your pilgrims, your strangers in this land, God, we feel uncomfortable. We're shaken, we're torn, we're frustrated at times. But God, I pray right now that your faithfulness would just well up with inside of us, that your word would take on a new life when we gaze into it, and that our speech would be peppered with the words of grace, peppered with words of truth. Protect us from falling to the wayside. Keep our eyes focused upon you and our hearts grounded in the assurance of who you are. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. I love you all. Bless you. If you found this challenging, encouraging, correcting, hope-giving, life-giving today, I encourage you to share it on your Facebook page. And if you think it would be helpful to others in your lives, please share it. May God strengthen you today. And I look forward to seeing you all face-to-face very soon. Much love, many blessings. Go with God. Trust Jesus. Stay safe, but be dangerous for him. Blessings.